Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Yeah, yeah. But now that is not the case.
What is not the case? You see, you can't just start a show with an arbitrary comment like that, Ted, and expect anyone to understand what you're talking about. What is not the case?
Well, they can stuff off. No one listens to the show anyway. Well, I think there's about a dozen people probably that listen to it.
No, I think they're both enjoying it very much.
Yeah. Both of our listeners, welcome to the show, and hello to you from Whatever Works. It's... Do you know, the first... we both reject April Fool's claptrap, don't we?
We do, but, indeed.
It is April Fool's Day today, in case anyone's interested. I think that it started, from memory, it started when people were fooled into thinking it was summer or something.
Oh, okay.
It invariably wasn't summer yet, or something like that, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's just the whole thing of as we know, because we've talked about it before, the practical joke as a concept is something I just can't get my head around. Why would you lie and cheat and cause somebody upset and harm just to go, ha, 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 I was joking? Yeah, I just don't get it. Sorry.
No, nor me.
Right, well, good show. Thank you, Ted. See you next time.
Okay, one quick reference to April Fools, or even just fools. I had a fool the other day, Mrs. that thing that you buy in Tesco in a little pot next to the yoghurt.
Oh, yes.
And I thought to myself, why is that called a fool? So I decided to look it up in the usual way. Has become the usual way.
Oh, your Encyclopedia days. Britannica, that's the one, yeah.
That's the one, yeah, on the shelf there. No, down the library.
Yes!
what I discovered was that fool is a, as we know, a British dessert, traditionally made with gooseberries. I do remember it mainly being gooseberries back in the day, but I think it's expanded now to other fruits. But the name was after the French word foulée, which apparently means to mash, press or crush, from the preparation method where stewed fruit is crushed and pureed before mixing with cream. And over time, of course, it was anglicised and foulée became fool. 16th century word. The dessert is fooling the user, the eater, into the tart fruit taste and the sweet and cream taste, but it all seems to work together. And it is nice, I have to admit. It's a nice taste. If you haven't had one, dear listener, or even dear co-host, then go and grab one, because they're quite nice.
I'm the only one who's actually listening. I've had it. My mother was very partial to them for a while, actually. I think there was a particular brand at Tesco that she used to eat quite regularly. I wonder if the French fool is April fool. Maybe April Fool was people turning into fruit on the 1st of April. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be the same derivation.
Indeed. Anyway, enough of this claptrap. It's show 239.
Yes.
It's the 1st of April, 2026. And I guess that means it's spring or something, or summer. No, one of those. Whateverworks.works is our website. AidenBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find Ted Salmon. And MeWe is where we kind of hang out, and hope you do too, to give us ideas for our show going forward. And you know what we do every single year, or I do anyway, about this time, is start whinging about summer and heat.
Yes, excuse me. Would you please make that I, not we? I'm fine with the change in the temperature. It's your polar bear self, Ted.
It was on Sunday that... I heard it out the corner of my ear, the ice cream van tones, and I thought, yeah, this is the summer's arrived. The van is around. As soon as the sun comes out, you know, oh, for goodness sake. And I did wonder if what the prices were like in an ice cream. I haven't bought an ice cream from an ice cream van for decades and decades. And I did wonder to myself, I wonder what the prices are like now. or if they've all gone up as well, blaming Iran or Putin or something.
Ditto. Yes, I haven't had one for a very long time either. Do you know what, Ted? It occurs to me. What's this SAD, seasonal affectation disorder, something like that? I think you've got it back to front. I think you need to see a doctor. I mean, everybody else looks forward to the end of the summer and there's all these, you know, celebrations of the equinox and the coming of spring and the bringing of the light, and you're the complete opposite. You're like, bah, humbug.
Yeah. There was a Freudian slip in there when you said looking forward to the end of summer.
All right, let's move on. Here, I've got a bone to pick with somebody, but I don't know who it is. I've posted a picture which may end up on the web for people to see. I do hope so. I tried to use... this picture is called Oops. And what it shows is a microwave, my microwave, with some lovely, I think they're cauliflower florets, in a steamer bag. But the steamer bag is taking up the entire inside of the microwave. The thing expanded, I don't know how many times. I mean, many, many times until it was touching all four sides of the microwave. It didn't burst, but when I opened the door and got this thing out, it was like getting a huge balloon out of the microwave. Now, I have to say, the cauliflower florets cooked perfectly. Very delicious, thank you very much. But I must have done something wrong. I think what I did wrong was I read somewhere, probably Bloody Gemini, told me to put a spoon of water in. And I am assuming that that water boiled, turned to steam and inflated the bag, and I shouldn't have done that. But... It did amuse me because it was. Somebody brought them onto the show. I think it was you, Ted, brought steamer bags onto the show a few shows back, and they were ridiculous.
It was Jen Tobb.
I beg your pardon. So, sorry, Jen.
A nod to Jen Tobb, which was I think in Still Using or something. It was in Whatever Worked.
Okay. Right. I remember now. Apologies, Jen. And I think I got something ridiculous, like 200 of them for a couple of bob. I mean, it was a really amazing cheapest chips purchase. And I tried one out and it just blew up and turned into this hot air balloon in my microwave, which amused me greatly. Wow. I had great fun bursting it open. But there we go. Yeah, I think as I tell you the story, it's quite clear. I shouldn't have put a spoon of water in because obviously that boiled, which was a mistake, but it was a lot of fun.
You could always read the instructions on the microwave steam bag.
Perish the thought, Ted.
Now, I did something that I've not done for a long time this last month, which is to buy a book.
Ooh,
you remember those papery things
with a
spine down?
I live with a lady who's still got literally 1,000 in the house. I mean, we've got bookshelves everywhere. So, yes, indeed, Ted.
I haven't got many books at all. I have got the four Hannibal books.
Hannibal Lecter,
Silence of the Lambs. Yeah,
yes.
I've got those four books. But anyway, I decided that I wanted to get this book, and it is Forever Lysel, which is the Sound of Music story by Charmaine Carr. She plays the oldest girl, Lysel, in the film. Mm-hmm. And I just always loved The Sound of Music, and I'm sure you'll agree with me on that. I read somewhere that this book it's not about her life story and dribbling on about that. It's actually her documenting the anecdotes and the process of when they were recording it. And so far it's been really interesting because it doesn't warble on about her. It warbles on about, you know, what it was like to be on the set and being involved in it. So really interesting. And the point was that I bought this book and I thought, where can I get this book from? And I went to Amazon, and you can buy it new still, but it's a ridiculous amount of money. And I went back to ABE Books, which I've mentioned on the show before a long time ago. A secondhand bookshop, I think, is in Hay-on-Wye, the book centre of the world. And £2.79, and it was second hand, obviously, but it's perfectly fine. They sent it to me, arrived in a couple of days. I've got a book.
I love it, Ted. You know, two things. Abe Books I know well, again, with my mother and her career in literature. Mum's ordered books from Abe Books quite a few times. Very good. I certainly concur with that. Second point, I have to say I'm astonished that a cynical, crotchety old bastard like Ted Salmon is a Sound of Music fan. I mean, that I did not see coming. That's astonishing. I mean, I wholeheartedly concur and approve. I think it's a marvellous film, and well done you, sir, but not what I would have expected. Very left field, Ted. Thank you. Are you sure is this the April Fool? Is this the one that you're going to tell me at the end of the show? Really?
I'm putting your second point down to my socialisation and nostalgia, and my mother particularly, because my mum was really into musicals, and she dragged us along to things like The Sound of Music and Oliver and
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I know is another favourite of yours. That one
Chitty,
I did
Chitty
know
Bang
before.
Bang.
Yes.
Yeah, and she inundated us with all this stuff and bought us the records, and we got taken along to the Black and White Minstrel Show,
right,
which we're not allowed to mention now. And so all of those, at that kind of age in your life, you know, when you're about 6 years old, it just all sticks. And, I totally love it. And I could watch any of those musicals again and again and again, and have done. So, yeah, that's the background to your second point of shock.
Well, I mean, it stuck firmly with me, didn't it? I mean, as you know, I mean, I grew up to become a theatre queen and make musicals my career. So, absolutely, yeah, yes, yeah. Hear, hear.
Cool.
And talking of musicals, what a slinky link. I took my mother to London to see, as I think I explained in a previous show, that at the moment we're finding the great use in having a disabled elderly mother, because theatre tickets become incredibly cheap. We get to go to the theatre for about a quarter of the price that it would cost us otherwise.
In fact, they pay you to go.
They basically, I get my ticket is free. And generally speaking, my mother's ticket is roughly half price, and my ticket is free because I'm her carer. So we're taking the chance to go to the theatre a lot, and you may remember that I walked past Ted's grooming and put a photo up from that on a previous visit. Well, most recent theatre visit, 2-3 weeks ago, I drove. Unfortunately, we were in the car. I couldn't stop. But I drove past Redmount Limited Hardware and DIY, lighting and electrical, which looked, as we whizzed by in the car, to be a really beautiful, traditional, old-fashioned ironmongers with keys and screws and nails and hooks a plenty in the window on display. I think you could go in there and say, I need a couple of nails, and they would sell you a couple of nails and not say, oh, you've got to buy a box of 200. Just such a shame I couldn't get out of the car and run in and just get high on being in a real real ironmonger, because it looked wonderful from the outside, doesn't it? You can see it on our recording notes.
Yeah, you've included a photo for me to see, and it does look great. They have moved with the times a little bit, I see, because across one of the windows it says redmount.co.uk.
Yeah.
No, redmountlimited.co.uk. So perhaps they do an online business as well. But you're absolutely right. It's real Arkwright stuff, isn't it? And I too would love to go in there and mooch around and just support what they're doing, I suppose.
Squinting and reading the long thing, it does actually also say here, DIY electrical plumbing wholesalers, available electrical and plumbers, handyman and decorators. When did you last hear somebody being described as a handyman? How lovely, eh?
Yeah, lots of they've obviously cornered something there, and good for them.
Yes, indeed. And talking of shopping, I just have to report not a great deal to say, but you may remember that I was itching to go and try out our new Marks and Spencers, what was being built around the corner. It's opened. It has begun.
Ah.
I went in. Oh, someone's at the door. I'm going to have to go and get the door. Hold the fort.
I know, Google. I'm on my way.
2 minutes later.
It wasn't even Amazon. It was actually the postman. Real post from a real delivery person. My goodness. Sorry about that. Hello.
Cool. Hope it was something exciting.
I don't know. I thrust it all in the hands of my mother, who eventually turned up and said, I'm back to recording. So I've got parcels
to
open.
Anyway, you were talking about Marks and Spencer's. Have you bought from their deli counter a fish cake yet?
Not from that particular one, but I do know Marks and Spencer's fish cakes, and they are absolutely gorgeous. the only thing I just wanted to say about our M&S is it's wonderful to have it round the corner. It's literally about 200 paces from Tesco. I mean, they're going to be, you know, it's going to be the battle of the supermarkets around there, I can tell. Yeah. And of course, the car park has become a veritable nightmare now with so much traffic. But with that under consideration, it's amazing. I mean, it really is. It's another planet. It's chalk and cheese. When you've lived off Tesco for literally years and years, as we have, to suddenly have M&S open up round the corner. And wow. Yeah, I mean, the fish cake is a good example of just how good their food is and how much better it is than almost everybody else's.
And more expensive.
Well, I was quite.
When in Chichester, I used to go to the deli counter in there, and I couldn't believe how more expensive. And yes, of course, they are much nicer, but you know, not the same thing. But you can go and buy a Tesco finest fish cake in Tesco, and it's like about, I don't know, £1.50 or something. And then suddenly in M&S, it's £3.50 or probably even more now. You can find out soon.
Yes. I mean,
but if you can afford it, then great.
Yeah, I mean, what I think I'm going to do is we will still do our regular general shop at Tesco, and all the basics will come from Tesco. But I now know that I can wander over to M&S, and you know, even if we're going to do, I don't know, meat and two veg, you know, the two veg can come from Tesco, and the meat can come from M&S. You know, you can sort of split your shop in order to sort of have really lovely, tasty things from M&S, but not go overboard with it.
I tell you what is also lovely from M&S is the coronation chicken. Yum.
Oh, I'll try that. And the other thing to say is it's huge. This is a motherfucking M&S. This really is. What's the advert? This is not just Marks and Spencer's. This is a real Marks and Spencer's. It's a big old thing. They've got everything in there. I mean, I think they've...
Cool.
There was, of course, an article in the local paper about it, which I think it said something. It's got about 90% of the M&S range are available in Hatfield. So very pleased am I.
Wow, very, very good indeed. And it's open long hours, I notice, from the blurb page till 9 p.m. 8 in the morning till 9 p.m. Pretty much every day. By the look. Oh, no, it's shut. No, it's not. It says every day.
Do you know,
no,
it still hits me that you call that long hours when, you know, I remember vividly pre-COVID supermarkets didn't close except on Sunday afternoon. Yeah. And you just could wake up at 4 in the morning and think, oh, I fancy a fish cake and pop down to M&S. You know, those days are gone.
Yeah.
Better before. Oh, you see, now that would have been the perfect place to put a jingle if we had one for feedback, but we don't. And it's me again.
Yes.
I want to tell you about my mother's mobility scooter. The reason being, it was a bit of a shock. It wasn't a purchase. It was a very generous gift. One of my mother's good friends very sadly lost her husband a few months ago. And a few weeks ago, she said to my mother, would you like to have my husband's mobility scooter? And I jumped in and said, absolutely, yes, she would. I've been wondering about getting one of these for my mother. And she's a lovely, lovely lady. She wouldn't accept any money. We both tried. In the end, we took her out for a lovely dinner to thank her for it. But anyway, the point being, my mother is now the proud owner of an Elite, Pride Elite Traveller Sport Easy Turn mobility scooter. I hesitate on mobility scooter because my mother's friend always referred to it as a buggy, and now we've picked up the term buggy as well, and we're talking about a buggy. Actually, as I look at the picture that I've linked you to, I think ours is very, very slightly different, but I know these come in all kinds of different variants and flavours. It's very much effectively what you can see in our recording notes, Ted. A really lovely buggy that costs around about £1,000 if you buy one new. And I am advised by the people I checked ours with that ours would be worth about £500 if it were to be sold secondhand. So we've really done well out of this. It's got a huge, great, chunky, heavy battery that sits underneath the seat, which charges up in sort of 6, 7, 8 hours. I put it on to top it up. It comes apart. You can break it down into 5 pieces. The chair, the battery, the bottom part comes into 2 pieces, and then the basket. So you can put it in the car, which we have done. I'm able to take it apart, put it in the car, drive somewhere with my mother, reassemble it, and off she goes on the scooter. It's a bit of a faff doing that. I don't think it's something that we're going to use regularly. I think it's something that's going to be there for when we want to make a trip to, for instance, oh, I don't know, Kew Gardens or somewhere where, you know, it's worth taking the thing, putting it together and making use of it. But it's lovely freedom for an elderly person who can't walk too far. And a surprise gift for my mother. We're really delighted with it. Difficult to know whether to recommend it or not. I mean, certainly in the short time that we've had it, which is a week or two, it's had been no trouble. We did have it looked at by a wheelchair company we have locally. They came and checked over that it was all safe and sound and no problem, and it got a clean bill of health. It seems to me to be good and sturdy and pretty heavy. I think it's about 40 kilograms altogether. So I think it's a good bit of kit, and we hopefully will get some long life out of it. End of sermon.
Excellent. We've got one of these in the garage because my mum bought one of these before she snuffed it. And my dad was trained into how to put it all in, folded up and mm-hmm. dissembled to put in the back of the car. And between the pair of them, they actually did exactly what you just described. When my mum needed to, when they were going anywhere where it was worth the effort of doing it all, they did it. And also, my mum used to take it down to the town. We live, our house is about, I don't know, a mile from Tesco, mm-hmm. and so this thing has got the well range of doing that. It only goes at 4 miles an hour, but it has got a range of 14 miles. She used to go off and head off to Tesco on this thing, and it gave her lots of mobility. So yeah. But it's good, and it now sits in the garage doing nothing because she's dead. My dad doesn't need to use it because he's not of the, you know, doesn't have the need. He can still just about walk. So it is a shame.
Well,
and they bought it.
So I was going to say, after you.
and they bought it second hand, and I can confirm that it was about £500 or £600. So there, over.
Thank you. I was going to say, if you're feeling generous, then do as my mother's kind friend did and share the karma and pass it on to somebody. And if you're not feeling so generous, stick it on eBay and sell it.
My dad is kind of emotionally attached to it.
Right.
I have suggested that, and he can't bring himself to doing it. Because when he looks at it, he thinks of his missus.
Yeah, of course.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, fair enough. So, when the time comes, it's another few quid.
Yeah. And my dad has said actually that when the time comes that he can't drive his car anymore because he's got this macular degeneration and he has injections in his eyes, and they eventually he will not be able to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And he has said that he won't want this one then because it's too. It's not beefy enough for him. He wants one that's bigger and faster and better. And he's already eyed one up.
Yeah, I tell you what, Ted, whatever your plans, bring the battery in and top it up. Don't let it sit for extended amount
that.
Of time. He does.
Oh,
okay.
He does that. He goes out and every few days he plugs it in overnight. He's very methodical in those kinds of ways. Anything to do with vehicles.
Okay, but I can understand then the emotional connection to it if it's something that it's still a regular job for him to go out and maintain it. Yes, of course.
Indeed. You can have a jangle now.
Finally!
I found this thing on my brother-in-law wanted a birthday present. My sister told me, and she suggested this thing called Retro Nostalgic Art. And this company, which is, they've got a little shop on Amazon, and they do all sorts of retro mugs and tin boxes and fridge magnets and blah blah blah, and the theme of them all are different ones. He's particularly into motorbikes, so we got him a Norton one or something. It was something that he was, you know, really liking the sound of. But when I started exploring this little shop in Amazon, I thought, this is really nice. There's some nice stuff in here. Apparently the mug is really nice. He's really pleased with it. Tin signs, tin boxes. It's just like a retro kind of shop thing. And the prices are not too bad. If you're not too picky, you can get one of the mugs for down to about £8. And the fridge magnet sets are about £10 for a set. I just thought it was worth mentioning in Ted Salmagundi, because it's a nice little find, and I'm pleased that I did. And I might even buy myself a mug, because that's something that's happened to me since we last spoke. That lovely big red mug of mine, which was a pint mug, and I've had it for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now. I bloody well broke the handle off of it, and I went onto Amazon to try and get another one. £14.
Oh,
I'm not paying £14 for a mug. They can sod off. So I'll pay £8 for one of these, I think, instead. Anyway, there you go. That was my Salmagundi, the retro mug and tin store on Amazon.
My sister's partner, who is designing the website for my new Santa Belle creation, which we've talked about on the previous show, is very into Volkswagen, old Volkswagen, you know, the camper van. I've just put a £10 mug in my basket on Amazon. As you spuck, cool. I found the nostalgic art retro coffee mug Volkswagen bus gift, and I've popped it in my basket. So thank you for that, Ted. It's a lovely find. There's some gorgeous stuff. There's other stuff that catches my eye here. I'm sure there's a Volvo mug somewhere here that will probably tempt me greatly. And I mean, there's a cat meowing. A nostalgic retro Better Together cats. I presume that may have been a product in days of yore. It's really lovely. And I mean, also for someone like my mother, could go through and probably say, oh, I remember this, I remember that. Very, very good find, Ted. I shall probably enjoy going through that later and seeing if there's anything else I can waste some of my money on. Thank you.
Yeah. Check all the tins and the magnets as well. I've just noticed that there's a Vespa mug, which would suit me with my scooter. In fact, the it doesn't look that dissimilar to my scooter. So, really good stuff. Well done to me.
Now, I wanted to play the jingle because I know you have some news, and I thought, well, we better get the jingle in for possibly the last time. Tell us the news, Ted.
Oh, dear. Well, I wonder who bought it might be dead, because there's been a change to the Amazon affiliate linking data that everyone's up in arms about this. I mean, this might come back, actually, but because there's so many people complaining about it, there's a big Reddit thing going on about it. Anyway, the bottom line is that Amazon are no longer telling their people like me, whatever I'm called, affiliate link people, what people have bought, which kind of just takes away the whole basis of I wonder who bought it, because I don't know who's bought what.
Yes,
I don't know what's been bought.
We could change the jingle. I wonder if anyone's bought anything.
Yeah, so I don't really know what to do with this long-running show item. If anyone's got any ideas, then let me know. But I no longer know what has been bought. All they do is they give you your totals, and you have to just trust them. Like I say, it might come back. There's a hoo-ha going on, and they might change it again because everyone's so up in arms about it. But at the moment, I can't get to it, so we might have to at least temporarily retire I wonder who bought it, I'm afraid. But in the meantime, you can still give me your pennies by using my Amazon affiliate link, and that's at tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. It still works, it's just that I don't know what's been bought. Very sad.
Yep, I think listen to this space.
Still using.
All right, what are you still using then?
I'm still using my Ruark R2 Mark III, which is now, I can't believe it, it's 10 years old. You know, this was one of the, I didn't track it down on our show notes, but this must have been one of the very first things I bought to Whatever Works, because 2016 was when I got it, and it's still going on. It's a high quality British made, well, probably isn't British made, but British company who have designed this little desktop music machine, which you can stream to, or you can it acts as an FM radio or a DAB radio, and you can plug headphones into it. You can it's got RCA ports at the back, so you can outwardly send the audio if you want. You can send audio into it. It's an audio box of tricks, and it works really, really nicely. But it has got its own two speakers on the front, one on each side, facing forward, and they do something really magical with the sound using software, I suppose, and they make the sound stage just bonkers wide. It sounds like the two speakers are in the two corners of the room when you sit in front of it. It's just amazing. Now, that effect doesn't last very far away. You need to sit, you know, within kind of 3 feet of the front of it for that to work. But it's a beautiful sound, really bassy. It's got a remote control as well, and an aerial for the radio bit. And I'm delighted that 10 years on, and somehow, you know, back in the day when I spent £400 on this, I thought, oh, that's a bit expensive. But actually, if you divide that across 10 years of usage, of good usage, still going strong, suddenly that £400 is, you know, not very much a week, a coffee a week probably, or two. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying it still. I'm still using the Ruark R2 Mark III. You can't buy it anymore. They've moved on with their range.
But it looks marvellous, Ted, and 10 years' use really is an excellent still using. And it's a freestanding FM radio. Who's not to love that? You can't buy. Yeah. I don't suppose you can buy one of those anymore. At least not easily. That's lovely, and it looks lovely. I mean, it looks sexy. I mean, it's this lovely sort of brown tiki look. Is it actually made of wood? Is it? Is it actually genuinely?
Yes, it is.
It's gorgeous. It's really gorgeous, Ted.
Yeah.
Good call.
It's made of wood, and it's a lovely device. At the time when I bought it, I could have paid a bit more and bought one that had a CD drive in it as well. But by then, I didn't have any CDs, so I didn't bother. But you can still buy Ruark stuff. It's just you can't buy this particular one. I think the latest is the R2 Mark IV or Mark V or something.
Beautiful. And certainly a lot more beautiful than mine.
Right.
In 2019, I bought a Loo Gun, which I raved about on the show. You may remember it was this plastic thing, which is, it's a toilet brush, but it's not a brush. It actually just, it was a water pistol. It was a water pistol that sort of has a toilet brush-like shape and sits in its in a little vessel, as a toilet brush does. And you kept it in the bathroom and you picked it up. And instead of scrubbing the loo with it, you just point it at the loo and fire. And a jet of water comes out and you clean the toilet in that way. And I love this thing. I seem to remember I even bought the second gen one when it came out later. But, and I brought it on the show 180, February 2023 was one of the shows I was raving about it. However, when I broke the second one and came to buy a third, it was no longer available. I couldn't even find one second hand. It had gone. It had disappeared from the market. So what did Aidan do? Aidan Heath Robinson Bell, he went on his favourite website and bought a cordless high-pressure washer gun. For $25.99 when I bought it. This was back in December 23. And I took this washer gun and I took the input pipe, which you normally plop into a bucket of, I presume you put it into like a bucket of soapy water and spray your car with this thing. I've just run a plastic tube into the back of the toilet, into the cistern at the back of the loo. And so it's drawing water always from the back of the toilet and I can clean the toilet with it. The only, I say problem in inverted commas, is it's about 10 times as powerful as the loo gun.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that you aim it properly. Otherwise, you're going to have water or water plus all over the bathroom. But till this point, I've not had any accidents with it. And it has proved extremely useful and extremely efficient. So I now have the mother of all loo guns. I have a high pressure water washer gun that into the toilet when I finish my business, that cleans it all up. And I'm very pleased with it and have been since 2023 when I bought it, and it's working since, and it's got a rechargeable battery in it, which is all fine and does the job. I can't tell you any stats on the battery and how long it lasts, because basically it lasts forever. I think I've probably charged it once since I got it. I mean, if you think about it, you know, once, perhaps a day, maybe not even that, I'm using it to clean a loo. So it's not getting much use, and each cleaning takes about 5 seconds. So, I mean, the battery's just gone on and on and on and on. And as I say, I've probably charged it once in the 3 years I've had it. Yeah, very happy with it. I don't know how many other people would have the same use case, but there it is. And also, I presume it's probably a very good cordless high-pressure washer gun if you wanted to use it for normal things like cleaning your car or patio. That's it.
Looking at Amazon, it also usually you see when something's no longer available, you see alternatives, but there aren't any. All of the alternatives are just brushes, and I wonder if they've been not allowed to sell them or something, or like you say, people have ended up with stuff all over the walls, and I don't know. It just seems a bit odd. Also, I wanted to ask you how on earth you. Did you cut a hole in the bottom of the cistern or something?
I lifted the lid of the cistern and then I put a small layer of, I think I used styrofoam all around. So the lid was lifted up by about a centimetre. Sitting on styrofoam. And then I just cut through the styrofoam to pop the pipe in.
So the pipe is dangling down the side.
It's a plastic thing. Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly the most attractive thing. But then, I mean, we live in a house that was built in the 60s and is falling down around our armpits. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Cool. Very good. Well done. How far into it did you buy this new one? Just recently?
No, the new one was bought 2023. I bought the first Loo gun in 2019, and then the second one, I don't know, a year after that. And then in 2023, when I could no longer get a Loo gun, I started with the pressure washer gun. And I have to say, I mean, I'm being classic Aiden over the top. It's not that powerful. I mean, it's a good, hefty wash of water, but it's not anything stupid. So I can't imagine why Amazon have stopped selling it, unless it's just the curse of Aiden's toilet. Anything I buy to clean my toilet comes off the market.
OK, next up is David Brakewell, and he is still using his IKEA Home Smart Hub. This is one for you, which he bought secondhand for a fiver with a power adapter from a friend about 7 years ago for his mother. She brought a decorative lamp and it had no switch. Since then, we changed almost all the bulbs in the house to IKEA smart bulbs. This is definitely one for you. I don't have any smart stuff at all.
Oh, that was is that me? I was just thinking what I was preparing my response, which is to say it's twofold. Yes, I'm keen on the smart items, but no, I don't understand it at all. I mean, we recently had a little bit of a problem with our router and I hadn't got a shifty and I was taking photographs and sending them to Gemini saying, I've got this thing in the hallway. It's got these LED lights on it. What is it? And it doesn't seem to work. And how do I fix it? I mean, the technology is right over the top of my head. But yes, I do enjoy them. I suppose that's an end of it. I love the end result of SmartKit, but I can't get my head around the mathematics of all the various routers and the way the internet works and how it all happens. And with my shocking memory, I mean, as we've joked on the show before, if it happened more than 5 minutes ago, Aiden can't remember. I look at stuff that I've set up in the house and I think, well, blimey, if this goes wrong, I'm not going to have a shifty how to change it because I can't remember how I set this up.
Sure. And after the jingle, we're going to continue with Mr. Brakewell, aren't we?
Yes, we are. David Brakewell also brings us IKEA again. It's one of these silly IKEA words, isn't it? Tretact. Doesn't really matter. Smart plug. It's an IKEA smart plug. And David says, we bought this smart plug to automate the cat's water fountain. It's easy to set up using a SIM card tray tool and to use via IKEA's Home Smart app. At £6, it's cheap as chips. Yeah, I've got a couple of smart plugs that do stuff in the house. Again, I have no idea how I set them up or what I would do if they broke. But yes, I concur, they're very good. David also says he's got another funny IKEA word I won't try to pronounce, E14 bulb. The bulb uses Matter standard, which is handy as the Apple TV box and Home Minipod are Waldo Matter hubs too. Are you keeping up at the back? Talk about Greek. You scan the code on the product to connect, so there's no need to buy a new hub. You have full functionality in Apple's app to change the colour. £7, as cheap as chips.
I don't get all this smart stuff. I know that you do, and obviously David does, but to me, it's all kind of... Whenever I look at... I can't imagine, in my life anyway, what I'd use them for. But I'm obviously glad that David and you are finding it useful.
I could tell you one quick example. In my car, I come home in my car. I've got a new car, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned it. Coming home at night, coming down the runway, especially if it's raining, it's incredibly difficult. So I think I've talked on the show before about how I've put up LED strip lighting on both sides so I can guide my way. I call it my runway lights. And I have an app. I have a smart plug. So when I'm in the car, I can open my phone and I can turn on the runway lights from within my car as I approach the house. There's an example of a smart plug. And the bulbs in the lights, I can say Google keyword, turn the lights off, Google keyword, turn the lights on, Google keyword, turn the lights down to 50%. You know, you and I have had a humorous conversation in our recording notes about you saying to me, what's wrong with your legs, and I've said, what's wrong with your gob? Of course, each to their own. Different people prefer to operate tech in different ways. I'm very comfortable with just saying out loud, Google, turn the lights on. So for me, that works.
It just seems to be a bit over the top to me. I have got a smart plug, and it turns my light on in my lounge each evening at whatever time I set it to on my app on my phone, and it turns it off, you know, after I've gone to bed. But I could easily, when I'm walking past it, just throw the switch and turn it on. The only reason I've got it really is because Gareth in Tech Addicts has kind of badgered me into getting one. But it feels like it's all over the top. It's like using the network, and you've got to get an app, and you've got to get your phone out to change it, and blah, blah. I mean, once it's set up, okay, fair enough. But actually, this time of year, every couple of weeks, I'm having to get my app out and change the time the light comes on anyway. You know, my point is that as opposed to just walking past the thing and putting your finger down and throwing the switch, it just seems like it's all a bit over the top and unnecessary.
There is a spectrum that runs from a troglodyte in a cave all the way through to Bill Gates's house. And, you know, everybody finds their own comfortable place on that spectrum. And, you know, I'm perhaps veering slightly more in the direction of Bill Gates and you towards the troglodyte. I think we better move on before I dig myself into a hole here.
I'm going to make the point here by highlighting a cheapest chips, which is an IKEA built a £3 stick on light. Oh no, they built a £3 stick on light. Forget that bit. That it lasts 6 months. So you put a AAA battery in this thing and you stick it to the wall. And basically, when it runs out, you put a new battery in. And if the stick still works, you'll stick it back on again, I suppose. If it doesn't stick still, just buy a new one. It's £3. To me, that makes much more sense. This is a, you know, it's a nightlight version, so it kind of comes on with the dawn and goes off at dusk, or the other way around. You know, no cords, no plugs, no electrician. Buy this thing, £3, stick a battery in it, and peel the back off of the thing and stick it on the wall. And when it conks out, just go and get another one for £3 or replace the battery. I like that, and I think it's... A lot of it, IKEA stuff, which we'll come back to later, is so well-priced, and it's a lot of it's really well thought out and simple and straightforward. I like IKEA.
Well, there you go, Ted. I have one of these lights. It may not be the exact IKEA one, but it's exactly what you described, and it's in my bedroom, and I couldn't live without it. So there you go. Everybody has their own use case.
Cool.
I want one, I want one, I want one.
I want one of those.
I reckon that this little table that hooks onto railings is a nice little thing. So... At the moment, I think it's just a concept. But there's a picture. I posted this in the Whatever Works group for anyone that wants to track it down. Of a guy sat in the sun on his balcony with this little makeshift table thingy, which he puts over the top of the railings and gets a little stool or whatever, sits in front of it, puts his computer on it or whatever you want on it, use it for whatever you want. And it just sits there, and you can use it as a little makeshift table and sit in the sun. You better watch out for it. He doesn't burn the top of his head, mind you. He needs a hat. and I thought that would work really well. My sister used to live on the 14th floor of a block of flats, and they had a balcony just like this one, and I'm sure that she would have loved to have done that, get out in the sun a bit and not just be stuck indoors. Get your coffee out there, and it'll work really, really well. I have got a balcony too, on my static home, and I think it would just about go over that. It's actually, if you look at the bit that goes over the balcony on the back, it's actually wedge-shaped. So I'm assuming that that would fit with different size railings, that they've cleverly designed it to make sure that it's not just, you know, it's not going to fit one railing. And I think I probably would. If it was really hot outside, get my brolly up, put it over my head, stick this on the railing, and fanny's your aunt. So I like it, and it is, yeah, as I say, it's a concept for now, but hopefully someone will make one, and the table that hooks onto railings to make a desk. I like it.
Two things. First thing, I was wrong. I was teasing you in the recording notes, saying, talk about use case. I couldn't possibly have any reason for wanting one of these, but of course, each to their own. If you have a balcony, as you say you do, then yes, I can actually suddenly see the validity of it. So I was incorrect in poo-pooing it. It's nothing that would be of the slightest use to me, but each to their own. Second thing, take a look at the picture. And listeners, if you get the chance to see this on MeWe later, have a look at the picture. Is that a little green man sitting on the man's left shoulder or next to the man's left shoulder? There seems to be a small green, looks like Father Christmas, sort of reclined on the top of the railing with one arm supporting him, watching the man typing. How bizarre is that?
Oh, yeah, because the hand is actually on top of the... It must be an ornament, mustn't
it? It's very bizarre. It's very bizarre. Anyway, yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Very nice. The other thing, do you remember Habitat? Is Habitat still a shop on the high street?
I think
don't know.
There may still be one at the top of Tottenham Court Road. Other than that, okay. I don't know it. No, not anymore.
It looks like most of what they're doing is online anyway. I picked up on this little poof. Do you remember Poufets? Poufets? I've got a Poufet in my lounge, which I put my feet on when I'm watching the television. But this one looks really cute. It looks really nice. It's a little cubed thingy. It's about 18 inches cubed. And I can see sitting in front of that thing on the balcony, that desk, you know, just perched on this thing. It costs 40 quid. It's got a lovely striped colour going on with it, kind of olivey green colour. It's about 40 quid. There is a 20% deal off just now. But you can also get a rug with the same stripy thing to go underneath it as well, which is only another 15 quid. But yeah, it looks really nice. A cubed Poufet. And I had no idea that Habitat was still a thing. It takes me back to 1974, I think.
Do you know what? I think if you were a comedian in the 80s, you were not a comedian until you'd made the poof joke.
Yeah,
I do remember the poof and the Poufet. It stinks of Habitat, doesn't it? I mean, one look at it, it says Habitat. It looks very nice, especially as pictured outside in the summer. I wouldn't have thought you'd be drawn to outside summer items, but let's not go there.
Well, to perch in front of my balcony desk, you say.
I see, that's what I was thinking. No, very nice poof, Ted. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Better before. Mine is quick, and I'm not sure whether you're going to concur with me here or just tell me I'm being a fool, but do you remember some years ago whether it was software on the computer or maybe doing something with the phone, with the early smartphones, if you made any kind of a change, if you went into an app or into a program on the computer or into you opened up the settings and you changed one thing to another, there was then either an OK or an apply button or both, and you had to click that button to apply the changes that you had just made. Now they've gone. Now they're not there. Now you open up something, you make a change, and you just close the window, and your change is registered and accepted. And that's supposed, in inverted commas, to be very clever and efficient and helpful. I hate that, because I like to open something, dither, make a change, look at how that works, think about doing it. Do I want that? No, I think I don't want any of that. Oh, what did I do? Bugger. How am I going to undo what I've just done? I can't remember what I did. I miss the OK and the apply buttons, because it was a simple way of saying, right, the changes I've just instigated, I'm ready for. Do it, please. Or you could think, no, actually, I don't think I'll do that. And you could abort. And I miss them. That's all. I miss the OK and the apply buttons.
I think more so that it doesn't close the window. So in Windows, if you're using Microsoft Windows, those apply buttons and OK buttons do still survive in in the settings, mm-hmm. for example, and that there is usually an apply button. But the advantage is that if you hit the apply button, you can see in the window or behind the window, let's say you're changing something on your desktop, if you hit apply, it leaves the window open and you can see behind that what's changed has changed.
Bravo.
If you just click on OK, then it closes, but it closes the window. And you're quite right. You might want to do some other stuff and not have the window closed. So I think that still does survive. Maybe in some of the things, apps, for example, the places that you've looked, perhaps it doesn't.
Yes, I mean, the thing that drew me to bring it onto the show today was Thunderbird email. I was doing some changes in Thunderbird. And then thought, no, actually, right. I think I won't do that after all, and couldn't find what I had done. So, okay. Yeah. That's it.
But, I think they should be retained, the apply button, definitely, for us nerdy people who care. The other thing, the thing that I wanted to bring to better before was, do you remember in the old days when 0 degrees Celsius meant 0 degrees Celsius?
Yes. Explain.
I put a screenshot in from the Met Office app, and it shows at 6 a.m. 0 degrees, and at 7 a.m. minus 0 degrees. And I put this in the group, and I said, surely zero is zero. How can you have minus 0 degrees? Anyway, Malcolm Bryant responded, our developer friend, and he said, it's a classic mistake. Some poor developer isn't doing his or her floating point to integer rounding properly.
Oh, I knew that. It was the floating point to integer rounding. I could have told you that at the beginning, Ted.
And he has sympathy, because he says he's been there too. But you would expect, the Met Office app to have that sorted. I did report it, but it hasn't changed yet. Better before, when 0 degrees meant 0 degrees.
Which you love, strange person that you are.
Whatever.
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 Work.
Strange little sort of traditions and habits we've developed for this show. Like, for the gold star, and for whatever work. And I tell you what, I'm sorry, I must let you do the housekeeping before I jump in with mine.
Oh, yeah, just to say that the next show that we were both on was show 90, September 2019. We called it Mamiya Mandolins for some reason. And we were joined on the show by Chris Kelly. Hello, Chris.
Well, it wasn't Chris what brought this on. It was me that I brought on the Dymo, D-Y-M-O, PNP, the Dymo Pump. Dymo, I'm sure everyone remembers, most people will remember, are the famous printer of labels. Everything in the old days, in the 80s and 90s, you used to label everything you owned with the Dymo printer. And I found this some way back. I think it was when I was putting my studio together. In the house, and I needed to label cables and various inputs and outputs of devices, etc. And I bought the Dymo Label Manager PNP Plug and Play Label Maker, which is a Dymo device which plugs in via USB to the computer, and it has a bit of software so you can do your you can create your labels in the computer software and print them, as opposed to the more traditional Dymos that used to have QWERTY keyboards on them that you just type in whatever it is you wanted to print. It's a still using, but it's a still seldom using. I bought it. What are we talking? 2019. Yeah, I still have it. I'm looking at it now. It sat on my desk. And of course, as with so many things, when I first bought it, there was a great flurry of use, and I got through all different. I tried out the different colours and the different sizes and font, because of course, using the computer software, the beauty is you can have different fonts and even small graphics, etc., on your Dymo labels. And I remember playing with it with great excitement. Now I maybe print a Dymo label once every couple of months, if I'm lucky. But as far as I'm aware, it still works. Sometimes I turn it on and it says the battery's dead. Charge the battery before you can use it, because it just sits there feeling sorry for itself for long periods of time. But it's still on the desk. I think I still use it, and I would still advocate the use of it, and I would still recommend it to people who are interested in one, because it certainly does the job well. That was mine.
Yeah. No. Spookily enough, and I didn't know that you were going to talk about that, a few days ago, I got my mother's old one out of the drawer.
Oh, yes.
And strangely enough, it's got four AA batteries in it, and it still was showing 100% battery in it. And I can't remember the last time it was used. Anyway, I decided that I needed to print some labels to help one of Dad's friends who couldn't work out which cable to use for what to charge her tablet
yes,
or something.
Yes.
So, yeah, I put one of these round the cable for her to explain what it was. But, yeah, it was still working. It's not the same as this one. It's very much a manual one. But, yes, good call.
Thank you. What's yours?
Right, mine is the Light CD storage box, and I had this one on the show, and they're still going. They're sitting there with what is left of my DVD collection, and they're those boxes that just flat pack. They're really clever. When you buy it, they're completely flat, and you just kind of they've got poppers on them, so you lift the sides up and lift the ends up and wrap it around, and then it's got poppers like on a cardigan or something, and you pop the thing together. Really cleverly designed, and it's really smart, and the lid works the same way. Again, poppers to get it all together. So the lights collapsible storage box, which is good for whatever you want to put into it.
Before you go on, I remember these, and on your recommendation, I bought a couple. I was at that time I was busy doing my filming of safety videos for River Cruise, for the River Cruise business, and I needed a couple of these, and I bought them in a very fetching orange colour to match the colour scheme at the time of what the project I was working on, and they're very good, and I spotted one of them in the garage just the other day, still sitting there wishing it was being used. So yes, very good call.
Yeah, indeed. But the one that is not mine and was someone else's, and I can't remember who it was this very expensive vegetable kind of slicer thingy. 70 quid nearly.
Wow,
it is.
That is
well, it is now.
God.
Probably wasn't it. But if you're someone that does lots of slicing of vegetables, and again, I think probably back in the day we got one of these for my mum because she liked her salads and stuff.
Right.
Me and my dad never had salads since the day she died. But yeah, the slicer looks like it's very, very useful for those that want to do that kind of thing. There is a cheaper version, which I'll also link to, which is much more simple. But that's still 50 quid, you know. Maybe this Borner, the company is called Borner, which sounds like a German word. You know all about
Borner,
that.
Borner, yeah.
I'm guessing that the company is well known and they make really good stuff if they can charge that much for it. But yeah, vegetable slicing galore.
Excellent. This one is really starting to get to the core of my being and make me very angry every time it happens. You go to a pub. and you have pub grub and you have your food, and then you think, oh, I'll treat myself to a pudding. I'll have a crumble. You order your apple crumble, or maybe you order a sticky toffee pudding or something, you know, that says in the menu, with custard. The crumble arrives on your plate, or usually in some bloody unnecessary vessel on the plate, but that's another story. And the custard arrives, and you get a tiny, little, weeny jug about the size of an egg cup, with about an egg cup's worth of custard in it. And two or three times now I've been in a pub and I've had to say to the waiter, could I possibly have another couple of these, please? I mean, what sort of... I've put a picture. I found an example on the web, and maybe it'll find its way onto MeWe. There's a picture in our recording notes to show this. What is the mentality here? I mean, that really isn't a portion of custard. That is a tiny little side drizzle of custard. I just don't get it. That's all. I mean, that's the end of it. It's a short whinge. Please, can we have literally five or six times as much custard when we order a dessert in a restaurant, in a pub restaurant, please?
It's people trying to be posh, isn't it? I mean, look at the presentation on that. We're back to those, you know, serving food on a slate,
yes,
a piece of slate
all of
thing
that
again.
Yes, indeed.
And also, if you get fish and chips in a posh pub, they'll give you a little pot like that of mushy peas, and it's all very kind of posh and,
yes,
and you know.
Well, I mean, put the custard in a posh jug if you want, but make the jug four times the size of this little tiny thimble that you've put on the plate.
But then it wouldn't be quaint and posh, and that's what posh people do. You know, what you want to do is go down the transport cap,
yes,
and say, give us a crumble and custard, mate.
Oh, you know what? Even having entered my 60s and taking a great deal more care now to eat healthily, there's still nothing like a naff calf. Oh, my goodness. You know, that's my cheat day. Take me to a naff calf and give me a fry up and a full pudding. Oh, yes, please.
Yes, indeed. Right. I'm going to throw into room 101. The trend towards horse pills for human. And I've put a picture in the show notes here. This was also on MeWe as well. But I've demonstrated that these pills, which are calcium, magnesium and zinc, but I think that this applies to many kind of vitamins and supplement pills, they're huge. I put it next to an AA battery so you can see how bloody huge it is. And I can't swallow it. The thing is really, really difficult to get down your throat. And you're not supposed to break them open, apparently, because when they get to your stomach, they're carefully designed to kind of disperse or something. But I don't know. But they're just huge. Have you found this?
You're not trying to swallow the AA battery, are you? I'm very lucky that I could swallow the battery. I've just got the knack. I can just slug it to the back of my throat and it's gone. My mother, on the other hand, has terrible trouble. She has trouble swallowing even the tiniest of tablets because she's got very narrow canals. So I certainly sympathise on my mother's behalf. Xerxes Hodivala actually popped in and said, I had this same conversation with my son recently. He passed on info from his biology class. Oh, here we go. Pay attention at the back. Right. The size of the tablet is related to which part of the gut it needs to activate in. If a tablet needs to get all the way to your lower intestine before the active ingredient is exposed, it will need to have more casing material. Ah, fiendish, you see, that's why.
And I get that if it's something that's got a capsule around it, like, for example, amoxicillin. You say, right, you can't break that open and just put it into food or something because it's got to... But with a tablet that appears to be just solid, the same all the way through, I thought that wasn't the trick. Anyway, I asked Gemma for adjudication. And she agreed with Xerxes' son that even though it looks like it's the same all the way through, it is built up of layers that do digest in the proper order. So you are supposed to swallow it whole, and very, very difficult. I find that huge tablet just nonsense. And also, if you read on the back of the pot in this Nature's Aid thingy, it says you're supposed to have two a day. I can't believe it. There's I think there's 90 in this pot, and so that's going to last you 45 days. And it was about, you know, 12 quid or something. So there's the price as well. Room 101 for the whole lot of it.
I, too, agree with Son of Xerxes. I'm sure it's to do with how much acid that this thing has to, stomach acid this thing has to pass through before it releases its golden nugget at the end. You may find that huge one that you're talking about, maybe you have to take two a day because the amount that's the actual product is tiny, right? Only in the center. Anyway, yes, very interesting, but I do tend to agree that the bigger the tablet, the further down the gob it's got to go.
Indeed.
Which actually meant, you know what? I'm going to just double back and say on that one 101 we were just talking about, I don't think I agree with you, because I think given the explanation from Son of Xerxes, I think you were wrong. But never mind, we're in Gold Star land now, so let's move
on. Yeah, apparently, as Gemma tells me, I was wrong. And you're not supposed to break them. You're absolutely right, and so is Son of Xerxes. Son of Xerxes.
It does sound like a Broadway musical, doesn't it? Anyway, we're in Gold Star now. What have we got?
Right, I'm going back to IKEA as I promised. I got that Kallax unit which I was talking about on a previous show.
Oh, you were, yes. No, you weren't talking about it. You were complaining about it.
No. I was complaining about the first one that I got that I sent back. Because it was so ludicrously difficult to put together, and for which I got an apology. Anyway, so the Kallax one that arrived was absolutely brilliant. It took half an hour to put together. And apparently these Kallax things are so popular, apart from anything else, for record collectors, as you can see from the photograph in the recording notes here, and where I put it onto the MeWe group as well. You can see that the records fit perfectly into the holes. They're just the right size. I'm not sure if that's by design for record collectors, but it just happens to be, maybe. And if you go onto record collecting websites and the Reddit groups and what have you, this is what they all say. Just get some Kallax stuff. It's perfectly good for the design is good for records. But also you can get, if you look on the IKEA website, you can get all sorts of inserts for those holes. So, internal shelving and just really interesting creative ideas to put in those holes, which I'm exploring at the moment. So, absolutely.
My favourite thing...
And I did put a...
Sorry.
Go on.
I was going to say my favourite thing is the little cartoon you've put at the bottom showing you not to climb up it.
do not use it as a ladder. Yes. In the instructions, it's got this little picture of a bloke climbing up this unit and it falling over on top of him and a big cross through it. It's really funny. Like, anyone's going to use it as a ladder. I suppose someone might use it as a ladder.
Oh, dear.
In actual fact, you do get fittings with it, which I didn't use, to screw it to the to the wall. And that was actually the most difficult and time-consuming bit that I could see. If you wanted to do that, it suddenly wouldn't be a half-hour job. It would be, the time it would take to do that as well. It's really nice.
I think hence the cartoon, because if you screw it to the wall, then people might look at it and go, oh, well, that's nice and firm. I could just climb up to reach the book on the top, you know.
Yeah.
Ahmed Biebers wants to give a gold star to banoffee pie.
Ooh, yum.
I made this classic British dessert, says Ahmed, at which point Aidan said, really? And asked Gemini for clarification. And indeed, it was invented in 1971 in East Sussex. I didn't know that. I didn't know that it was a classic British dessert. Thank you, Ahmed, for bringing that to my attention. I've learned something today. A classic British dessert, says Ahmed, which I'd never heard of before. Well, I barely had either. Must have been living under a rock. I didn't see you under my rock, Ahmed. It was absolutely delightful, he says. The combo is amazing. I thought it would turn out too sweet, but no, it was spot on. If anyone asked me what would be my last dessert, this one would definitely be top of the list. I presume he means a last dessert before he's being shot by a firing squad or something. It is lovely. I mean, from what I remember, banoffee pie is definitely a very yummy dessert. It's sort of like a cheesecake without the cheesecake part, isn't it?
and stuffed full of bananas.
Yeah.
It is nice. He's absolutely right. I was aware of it. And I have had it. And if you've got a sweet tooth, well, as you said, he says that it didn't turn out too sweet, but I think it's sweet, particularly when it's got loads of chocolate sprinkled all over the top. But there you go. Very, very nice indeed. My last gold star and the last item of the show.
A plethora of gold stars today.
It goes to Just Blinds, and I've given them a gold star before because these are the people that came in and sorted out my curtains. I had these revolting blinds on my windows ever since I bought this static 5 years ago, and I've always hated them, but I didn't want to replace them and sort them out until I could afford to have nice curtains. Anyway, Paul and his son from this good old-fashioned high street shop Just Blinds in Abergele came across, and they took about 2 hours to do the job. They took all the blinds out, which was tricky because the stupid previous owner had glued them all into place, completely ruined the thing. You can see in the fourth picture there, Aidan, and also I posted this in the MeWe group, you can see what they've done. They've taken the pelmets and they've put the blind housing up inside the pelmets and then just basically glued it in there.
Yes.
It's like, oh, for goodness sake. Talk about Heath Robinson. It's just revolting. Anyway, these blinds, so far, are really good. They're supposed to be blackout and thermal. I have had a couple of days of sun to test them, and I think already it did make a difference. And they're really, really thick, and they cost nearly $2,000 to do the whole lot. There's 8 windows. But yeah, Paul and his son were really, really good. And I think the gold star goes to them and their firm, Just Blinds. Nice one.
Gold star well earned. Gold stars well earned. I think we've never given so many out in one show.
No, which we must close now.
Okay.
So whateverworks.works is our website. AidanBell.com is for Aidan. TedSalmon.com is for me. And you'll find all the stuff that we're involved in at TedSalmon.com, me and the team, all the audio podcasts and the links to the MeWe group. So do come and join us and tune in to whatever you fancy, because we have lots of fun. And we'll be back next month with the early part of what month is it now?
April.
Oh, yeah. We'll be back at the beginning of May with another show, and we hope you have fun until then and have enjoyed this one. Last word, as always, to my learned friend and colleague, Aidan Bell.
How very kind. I'd just like to thank today's sponsor, IKEA of Sweden, for providing 50% of the content. Other shops are available.
Yes. Yeah, I'm recommended. Go, if you've got an IKEA nearby, go and visit. Yeah. It's good fun. Lots of good stuff. And if you haven't got one nearby, then go onto their website. See you in the MeWe group, and hope you enjoyed it. See you soon. Blah, 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 blah. And don't forget one last more thing to say. One last more thing to say.
Are you ready?
Don't forget, yes.
Whatever works. Usually works when we get it right.